You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. We're also heard on the World Wide Web. That's right. Ellen, take it away.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. We are live right here in Cocoa, Florida. And then also on all of the shows that we archive, they're also listed there by date, which is each and every Monday we are on here under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then we share it on all of our social media, as well as our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com.
What a great show we're going to have today.
I'm so excited.
Decided not to do too much of the post-mortem after the elections. Because I've gotten to the point that in life, everything is about messaging. And if you want something, you have to be able to message it properly. And I think that's what won, messaging.
Yes. And I also believe that, you know, as we've always talked about, Sita, on the show, take all that passion and all that charge that you have right now left over from the election and put it into our local politics. Because all of our mayors and our city managers and our representatives here locally, they all need your help and they all need your input. If you're upset about something, those are the people to tell. Get something going.
Right. Yeah. So on Mondays, for listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Ellen O'Neill and myself and Allie, we sit here and we have a fun-filled hour with Danny Whiting, who runs our board. And we're just so happy and blessed to be on this station going on 15 years, Miss Ellen.
I know, it's hard
15 years of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Who would have believed when we started?
I know. And people ask
guests every week for 15 years.
That's right. That's a lot of people.
We have a lot of repeat guests, too.
Yes.
And so we sit here, we talk to people. We like to say we heat up the airwaves talking about kitchen table topics, issues that are facing the citizens right here in Brevard County, Florida, around our state, around the world. And we have a great time talking to folks, whether it's about financial literacy, writing a book, selling a book, movies, whether we want to talk about environmental justice, economic justice, women's rights. We have a lot of politicians. We certainly Authors. Have a lot of people that come to give their advice. And we must say our show is fair and balanced.
Yeah, yes. Health and wellness.
Yeah, health and wellness, too. A lot of coaching. Everybody and their brother and mother want to be a coach.
Yeah,
what
right.
the? It's like, geez, your parents should be your coach.
That's right.
You know, but some people don't want to listen to their parents.
Coaches to coach.
Because parents don't know everything,
kids,
right? And so today is the day, the Monday after the election, and I'm raring to go.
It's also Veterans Day today, so I'd like to make sure that we send out a big thank you to all the veterans that are out there, and hopefully you'll have the opportunity to celebrate in your own communities, at the local establishments that are supporting and celebrating veterans today.
That's right.
Here, here.
To all my friends and family who are veterans, thank you for your service. Now, so we have two great guests today. We've got a gentleman who's calling in. He's an author. His name is Ken McCrory, and he's going to be speaking about his novels Smash and Ghost Hampton. Our second segment will be with actor and wrangler and wagon driver founder Dr. Sam with the Dr. Sam Project. So we have a lot of stuff going on today, and I think Mr. McCrory's on the phone.
Yes, I am.
Yes, well, thank you for taking the time. My grammar, Al.
Yeah,
I just noticed it. Oh my God, just go to edit. So, Mr. McCrory, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I completely forgot what state you were calling. Is it California, right?
I wish. No, I'm calling from New York.
Oh, good.
I'm a,
a blue state. Thank you.
I'm a New Yorker.
You're a New Yorker. That's wonderful. Well, here we are, you know, having a great time. We were just talking. We usually have a show before the show, and it's a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
So we were talking about ghosts and comic relief and all the things that you do in your life. And I don't know, it's Casper, the ghost, always comes to mind, right? The friendly ghost.
Yeah. Do you hear any background noise from me?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we do.
I was hoping that you weren't going to bring it up on air. I was trying to text you to be covert about it. But go ahead. Go ahead and turn off that background noise.
So Ken,
I'm using my clairvoyant ability because there is no sound in this room.
Okay.
If you could listen to the lack of sound right now.
Well, we hear you loud and clear, which is good. So for our listeners who are tuning in, Ken McCrory, he is surprisingly comic relief. You've got a lot of your author, a lot of stuff going on in your life, a lot of suspense, I must say. Lots of characters with Ghost Hampton. Talk to our listeners a little bit about yourself, and of all the topics in the world, ghost. You've decided that this is what you enjoy, and you're good at it. Talk to us a little bit about how you got started.
Hear that, folks? Yes, thanks, Tita. With that, I think, you know, if you go to a cocktail party or a party of grown-ups or kids, you stand in a group of a few fellow adults, and the topic of a haunted house could come up, and one of the adults will say, well, I never believed in ghosts until one night we went to our friend's new house, which is a really old house that they were, you know, refurbishing or something. And that's when we had this experience. So I've never really had that experience, but I always found that interesting. I've never believed in ghosts until this whatever event happened. So I created a character. If you'd like to know how Ghost Hampton came to being, my wife works in real estate. And we were driving past a house she got a mortgage for out in the Hamptons. And she said, see that house? I got the mortgage for that. And turns out it's haunted. So we drive by slowly looking at that. I said, wow, it looks perfectly beautiful and painted and new. And she said, oh, yeah, it's all new. But there's a ghost girl inside. And she went on and gave some details on that. So by the time we got back to our house, I had just written a novel, Smashed, that was pretty serious. It's set in a drug and rehab, a drug and alcohol rehab. And I wanted to get totally away from that for my next book. And plus, I hadn't printed Smashed yet. And I thought of this, and I started making notes, and I said, well, okay, this could be Ghost Hampton, because it's a ghost in the Hamptons, discovered in the Hamptons. So my thought was, well, it's not West Hampton, it's not East Hampton, it's Ghost Hampton.
Right, and Ghost Hampton, it's on the bestseller list as well.
It was for really briefly, if you inhale, that's on Kindle. If you inhale, by the time you run out of air, I think it was off.
Yeah.
But because it's, you know, it's Kindle, and that's like, I describe that as like a bay or a sea with rising and falling little waves and stuff. And if you're on top of that wave, wee! But then you go back down again, but they give you a medal anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And your main character is a guy named Mr. Lyle?
Yeah.
So does this character share anything in common with you?
Sort of. I'm Catholic, so I can't be a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, but he is, and I zeroed in on that because he has some money. He lives in the Hamptons on Long Island. But I'm also a fan of, Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
the kind of scary, mean guy from the Christmas Carol. So I have Lyle as a fellow who was in a terrible car accident, and he was a bad guy, a Scrooge-like lawyer in the Hamptons, and nobody trusts him or likes him, including his daughter. And they assume, everybody assumes, whether they, as soon as they hear his name, they assume he was drunk or something and hit the kindliest old lady in Bridgehampton with his big car, which isn't really true. And as he tells, he'll tell anyone who is listening, I was not drunk. I was on my way to get drunk.
that's really honest of him. After the accident, he just turned into a better person.
Yeah, it's kind of like
it's like a Hindi film. I swear to God, as I was reading all the reviews, I'm like, this is like a Hindi film. And any minute now, a Bollywood actor is going to come out singing and dancing with Mr. Lyle.
Oh, that would be so good. Could it be a woman?
Yeah.
Not a man? Okay. All right, thanks. So he after that accident, he almost dies, and he comes out of, he's saved by medical science, but he's now a clairvoyant, which is not him. So he's a fish out of water. He's forced into the world of empathic clairvoyance, but he's Scrooge. So he starts unscrooging himself, which Ebenezer Scrooge did at the very end of A Christmas Carol. You know, Dickens describes him as the kindliest old man who ever celebrated Christmas or something like that. Yeah. So Lyle is not that, but he wants to help people, and he buys his ex-wife, he pays off her home down in Florida where she's retired, stuff like that that you would not expect him to do. But then he hears the voice, the plaintive voice of a girl speaking to him in Italian, because that's her language. He figures out what she's saying. All she's saying is help us and help me. And other people are always giving Lyle a hard time, which is where the fun comes from, because 15 minutes ago he was a bad guy, and now he's out in the world asking, you know, for help. And, you know, so people say, oh, really? So the ghost says the exact thing that any ghost says in any ghost story? And he said, yeah, I guess so. This is my first time around.
Oh, kind of like Jim Carrey. I don't know why, but he reminds me of him.
Yeah.
So Ken, you've been, for 20 years, you were an editor, a professional film and TV production. Where did you get your inspiration for all the characters in your book? Are there people that you, these are people you work with, or just folks that you thought would play a good part in this book?
That's a great question. I wish I had the answer, because I think, you know, in a way I love the characters, including the bad people, except for the devil, and the little smaller parts. And what I wanted to do was bring them all to life, even if they're just have a bit part. Of course, Lyle has the biggest part. And he, in a way, in Ghost Hampton, his journey has a lot more to go because he's just getting started getting unscrooged. But there are other people who, they rib him, they give him a hard time. But the way that works is, the new ghost people he meets who come to his neighborhood because they want to see the haunted house that he discovers, the new ghost people don't know Lyle, and they just think he's some kind of, you know, important celebrity ghost clairvoyant, which he's not really. He's totally new to all this. Then the other people in town have known him his whole life and think he's an idiot and a drunk.
So did you have a lot of stumbling blocks to publish your book?
Yeah. The way it's set up now, I'm sure, am I talking to like other writers out there in the world, like young people, I would say the way, just remind them that the way it's set up is, especially big five publishing, the big successful publishers are monolithic, and they don't want to hear from you, especially because there are 250,000 of you. I did the math a few years ago, pitching books. I think that's every year. A lot of them are memoirs, which are really, really popular. You know, like My Dog Learned to Drive My Car or something like that. If you can claim that it's real. But if you have a novel, then in my case, I have a trilogy of Ghost Hamptons now. But if you have a novel, you have to prove that you're like, the Twilight Saga or something like that, even though no one knows you yet. So you have to prove that you're good to skeptical professionals who have reason to doubt you.
Right. Well, and the thing is, when you write a book, marketing the book is the hard part, and people want the best bang for their buck, right? And so that's where, you know, marketing books is like the hardest thing for people to do. And I think Allie has a question for you.
Hi, this is Allie. I was wondering if you have found that most people are drawn more to ghostly kind of things like that, themes over, say, a medieval something, other kind of text or whatever.
Like the queen who is the medieval queen who's fighting with some prince and some,
versus the ghostly side of things. More books get sold for that than other kinds?
Everything's in a category, so that might be fantasy or medieval fantasy or something that involves wearing mail and swinging a hatchet. But those people. So this is, there's a ton of ghost stuff, but you're in a kind of rarefied area where the king is Stephen King. I don't know how many books he has out now, how many movies and TV shows have been made, and he just keeps coming. And he's a good guy. He didn't read Ghost Hampton yet, either that or he did and decided it wasn't worth giving me a ring. But he's the pinnacle for that. So that proves his success proves that people do like the
That's
genre.
Right. Who could forget that car, right? Was it Carrie was the name?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Remember that? You've won a lot of awards, right, for Ghost Hampton. And did you find that winning the awards helped you in any way to your path to success?
Yeah. So, if you have a book out, you do not have a publisher, do not have an editor or people in the business supporting you, there's, I'm blanking on the name, I have it right here, there's America's Favorite Readers. American Reader Favorites.
Yeah.
I have it just out of reach here at my desk. You can sign up for that either with your book or an as yet unpublished manuscript. Send it in for like $25. They will read your whole book and review it. And if they think it's good, they'll give you like a digital medallion you can use on your promotional material. Speaking of Jim Carrey, that's how I got into it. It just popped up. Once you have written a book, they find you. People with websites, and I mean, people have websites that cater to new authors. And I'm looking at this reader's favorite site, and there's a picture of Jim Carrey who looks like he just had his first child, holding up a book. It was a children's book, and an award, a medallion. So So he's the kind of guy, they gave him a medallion.
Yeah. Made him feel important, right? Made him feel very important for that. But you're also a member of the Mystery Writers of America and the Independent Book Publishers Association as well. Quite an accomplishment there.
Yeah, they let me in. the Mystery Writers, the Mystery Writers are very cool. That my chapter is in New York. They get together every Wednesday night, and every Wednesday night I have to rehearse in the church parish choir I'm in. If you don't show up, don't show up for the past to sing. So I can only go to things they have that are more available to me, or if it's super important, then I'll blow off the choir rehearsal. But it's kind of weird. But I'm talking about my, this wouldn't affect anybody else, but they have great meetings. They have like a drink at a funky bar in Lower Manhattan a couple of times a year. You can meet other authors. They're all nice. The guy who runs, they have a different president. And then they have a big annual awards ceremony. I've been to that. I apparently didn't get anything. But that is what's his name? The dead poet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Robin Williams.
Yeah, Robin Williams. Yeah. But you know, one thing about you, Ken, you come across as a guy that, you know, life is beautiful. And it seems as though you're using comic relief as well to help you along this journey on life. Because I feel like in the pursuit of life, of liberty and justice and happiness, you've kind of found your niche. You got your hand in everything. You got your hand in everything. Yeah. Mystery writer, a little humor, the ghost. I mean, quite an imagination. It's very creative.
Well, you know, it's a 26-part podcast, 26-episode podcast now running for free as of October on every podcast platform. And it's called Ghost Hampton, the podcast. And it has lots of actors. Even I appear there as an uncredited actor. If you really want to know, I'll tell you who I play a couple of people. Just the guy that says, you know, which way to the gas station?
Yeah.
Guy. But I also play in the end, no one knows this. And now revealed on your show, Peter. I play the devil in this, because we realized we didn't have the devil in the very end, where the hero winds up in an argument with a demon who works directly for the devil, for Satan. So this turns out the demons want Lyle to die so they can take him down to the bad place.
I'm telling
and
you,
does,
it sounds like a Hindi film. So how did you get the attention of the Hollywood producers? And I would imagine that was very helpful for you moving from print to the spoken word and with actors.
They told me to do that once I met them. They're very nice, husband and wife. He tends to make action movies. But they love the title Ghost Hampton. So I started off with two words that they like. Then they look at this novel, it's 460 pages, it's for readers. And they said, you need to make this into a podcast, trim it down, which I did. It still wound up 26 episodes. And that took 2 years. And we got these actors who just bring it to life. And it's narrated by a guy who's a professional book reader. You know, people read books, you know, for a living. So they're wonderful, and they keep coming and going in the story. There's always some new character popping up, and it's, you know, it's nicely edited. So we're very happy with it. Now, fingers crossed that more people will listen for free.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners who are just tuning in, we're speaking with author Ken McCrory. I mean, he's written a lot of books, and we're talking about primarily the one called Ghost Hampton. And we're talking about his 20 years plus as an editor for professional film and TV production. And you're doing so much more. I mean, what's next for you? I mean, you've amassed over 6,600, well, that's 6,600 plus downloads of Ghost Hampton. You've attracted the right people to download this many books.
Those are episodes of the Ghost Hampton. It's like a spoken word book.
Yeah.
With, you know, sound effects. There's a gunfight in it. There's a devil. You have to get all the way to the end before you get to read it to him. But, what's next is some people want more of that. What I was thinking, I love the narrator so much. He's a book reader. I was just asking him to read the second book because he makes it be great. Because this sucked every brain cell out of me for 2 years, trying to manage this and even act in it a little bit, which was actually really fun. But to get all the way to the end of the story.
Yeah.
And I love the characters. So I did cut out some characters from the book, but I love the characters. So they're almost all of them are in there busting chops. And
well, you know, I read somewhere, Ken, that Einstein said that ghosts are real. I read somewhere that he actually believed in it. And I've been researching a few things about ghosts. And I think they were saying that ghosts likes lemons or something like that. They love the smell of lemons. Ghosts do possess funny bones, and cell phones spook ghosts away. I didn't know that, but I'm going to keep my cell phone.
Funny because you talked about having the writer's meeting in Lower Manhattan, and my cousin has a bar in Lower Manhattan that was built back in the Roosevelt times when he was the city commissioner or something, and they built a tunnel during Prohibition underneath. So they always talk at the bar of how those ghosts or those feelings are always still there, and that they're fun. That it's not like scary stuff. It's like fun stuff, little prankster things that happen. So it's kind of cool that we have that type of, because Brevard County, I've seen the most haunted shows and those types of things. Brevard County, we even have a few restaurants here that have claimed to be Ashley's for one in Rockledge that claim to be haunted. But again, they're fun ghosts. They're just prankster kind of things. So it's kind of neat that you're adding the comedy as well of your background to all these books as well. It's sort of slapstickish.
Well, if you like Seinfeld or Larry David, the characters kind of interact that way. I feel like if you have to steal from the best.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, that's been fun.
You know, that brings me to a point, like, I feel like Americans don't read enough, right? People love social media. TikTok is TikTok and Instagram and Facebook is for old people now. But it looks like young people, I mean, the joy of reading, right, of picking up a book, looking at the cover, reading about the author, looking at the pictures in that book and saying to yourself, I am going to engross myself into this book for X amount of hours per day until I get to the end. What do you think has happened, Ken, in that people just don't read?
Well, they're online and they're on TikTok. They're it takes up, you know, I think you sit down online and lift your head up an hour later and I kind of, what did I do during that hour?
Right.
I have all these books on my bookshelf piled up that I thought are worthy things. Serious works or fun works for a man like me to have read, and I have not read them. If we had a camera, we could pan over to that. It's sad. I'm haunted by these books, actually, but because I haven't read them.
Yeah, my husband just finished War and Peace. He read A Man in Moscow. He read a whole bunch of books, you know, old-time history. And it's like, wow, you just finished 1,400 or 1,500 pages. But he's developed a love for reading. And I think I would like, For us authors, I'm an author myself. You're one, and you've done phenomenal with your books and your from print to the spoken word and all that. But I wish we could get more people to fall in love with the library again and get that library card for their children and say to them, for 1 hour a day, I'd like for you to read something. Because I think it's for the good of our country. When you read, you open your imagination and you learn so much, even history. A lot of people, I mean, I know immigrants who have to study for getting their citizenship test, and they know more about the United States than people that were actually born in the United States.
Yep.
Oh, it's embarrassing. Yeah. But I think back to War and Peace, I think maybe your husband should be paid to read that, or he should invoice them.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I read the whole thing here. This will be $1,000.
Yes. He also read Les Miserables, and I said, what is going on? He's a retired physician, and now he's enjoying the love of reading. He's soaking into it. So it's wonderful to watch him every night for an hour or two reading. But listen, Ken, tell our listeners where they can find Ghost Hampton and all your other books. We'd like to have your website or where somebody can download the book for free or stuff like that.
Ghost Hampton is on Amazon. That's the one word answer is Amazon. If you don't mind doing Kindle, you can download it for $3 and change. As a book, it costs something. I don't remember now, but it's somewhere between 15 and 20 bucks now. So, so Kindle is kind of where it's at. That's for Ghost Hampton. The podcast is free, and it's on every podcast platform there is. We saw to that over the summer.
And it's called Ghost Hampton in the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, then if I'd say the podcast under it or something.
Uh-huh.
Well, this was awesome. And you said that there was a climatic scene where you call your Jerry Springer event. What was that scene? Because, you know, as a nurse, I remember when we were going into patients' rooms, a lot of the older residents, the old American people that I took care of, they would watch Jerry Springer, believe it or not. And it kept them busy in their wheelchairs, and they turned it on. They enjoyed it.
Conflict.
So you said that you had a scene that you called the Jerry Springer event.
It's, on that TV show, which I don't think I ever watched an entire episode of it, but if you were passing by and on a TV that was turned on, you would see, like, civilian people who weren't boxers or wrestlers just suddenly burst out with hatred for the other person, typically in the family, and start strangling each other or bapping them over the head with their pocketbook or something until Jerry and the security guys intervened. Now, do we have the... Toward the end, Lyle has the hero is in a burning barn, as a lot of people know, and he's being hassled by this demon who has entered the body of his priest friend. So the demon looks like his priest friend, but now has a new voice, and his hands have turned into claws. And Lyle Hall has to, he can't figure out what to do. Also, Lyle is drunk at the end because he can't take it anymore. And
we will make sure that we tell all of our listeners about this great podcast because I can't wait to listen to it myself. Thank you, Ken, for calling in and telling us everything. We've got everything posted on our website. We will put it on our social media a little bit later and connect everyone to your great books on Amazon and certainly the podcast as well. Thanks again for calling in. We have to take a quick break here for our sponsors. Make sure you come back. We'll be here right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Nine Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud 9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Are you longing for
located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great taste. Jotcall Financial Group is a certified public accounting.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita McGee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, FM 100.7, and online on the World Wide Web everywhere, Miss Ellen.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we also archive our shows there. And we have them each and every Monday. You just look at the date for Mondays, and you'll be able to download the shows from there. Of course, we share it on all of our social media as well. And I have just really quick two little public service announcements. The Brevard Prevention Coalition is putting on a harm reduction community forum on November 14th at 6 p.m. That is going to be at the Joe Lee Smith Community Center, 415 Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida, from 6 to 7:15. And there is free admission. So if you have any other questions or you need information about the event, you can contact Terrell Melvin at 321-355-2453. And then one other quick announcement. You're invited also to the 15th annual Meet the Authors Book Fair. We were just talking about people getting reconnected with the library. That's going to be on November 23rd and 24th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the O'Galley Civic Center. That's there in Melbourne, Florida. They have a registration open as of September 1st, so you feel free. If you just go on there, it's authorsforauthors.com, and you can register right there.
I tell you, what a great first segment. And this is why we tell people Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is fun, it's unscripted, educational, and boy, do we give out valuable information about just about anything on God's magnificent planet. Our goal on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is to leave the planet a better place, and we found it. And I think we're doing a terrific job doing that, Miss Ellen.
At least the three of us are.
Yeah.
The four of us.
I mean, that was funny.
The four of us.
That was really that was a really good segment. Our second segment is with a gentleman. His name is Mr. Sam Neely. And I don't know why. Every time I say the word Sam, I think of Sam Elliott.
Right. Well,
there's a movie star with that name, isn't
it? Oh, yeah.
Good-looking
guy.
Yeah. So Mr. Sam Neely was born and raised in Southern California. He raised his family in Texas and Oklahoma. He's been an auctioneer since 1972 and the entertainment business for 20 years. He's an actor, a wrangler, and a wagon driver, and started the Dr. Sam Project in 2015. So, Mr. Sam Neely, take it away. Tell us a little bit about yourself and all the stuff that you're doing.
Well, I tell you what, Sita, I'm living the dream. I'm a pretty hardcore patriot. I love this country. And by the way, before I start, I want to thank all of the veterans today,
yes,
for their sacrifices. But to get back to Dr. Sam, initially, it goes way back. It goes back 50 years, the concept of wanting just build a medicine wagon for fun. So we finally, after 50 years, I got to build my dream medicine wagon, and I said, now what am I going to do? And I thought, you know what? It's a great way to promote patriotism. So I just put it in some parades and some things of that nature, and one thing led to another, and I made up some bottles, old-timey looking bottles that Dr. Sam's Great American Cure-All Tonic, and the Great American Cure-All Tonic has a rolled up copy of the United States Constitution in the bottle.
Ding, ding, ding.
And we sell those bottles to, and the proceeds go to veterans. Out of that, we, in talking with children about the bottles, we found out that they really don't know anything about our history. So that really bothered me. So we created a coloring book, Dr. Sam's Great American Coloring Book, starts with the Declaration of Independence, and it goes chronologically through to the space shuttle with a paragraph of history with each picture, and it's designed to be interactive with a parent or a loved one.
Yeah, we were just saying that a lot of people don't read anymore, and that's the best way of children learning stuff. So it's good that you are taking the initiative to teach the children.
Get them in the books. Yep.
Thank you. We're proud of it. We plan to come out with a second edition, but, you know, we're limited on time. We've started a new TV show so we can share more about America. The name of the show is Dr. Sam's America, and we're faith-based, God, family, country, and patriotism.
Amen.
And we visit small towns across America looking for the good things about America, the things that that create the material that weaves in the fabric of our nation.
Yeah, so, and make no mistake, as an immigrant, a naturalized citizen of the United States, I do believe this is the greatest country in the world. And I believe the American dream is alive and well. You just have to snatch it. It's there. You know.
Absolutely. Just sometimes we need to be reminded.
Well, there. That's what I just did.
And
Ellen was born right here outside of Florida in a place called New Jersey.
That's right. That's right. In a little town. I'm a New Jersey American is what I say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my favorite childhood show was Schoolhouse Rock. You know,
right.
How a bill becomes
right.
a, you know, how a vote becomes a bill on Capitol Hill and all of that stuff. Like, and it was the patriotic ones that I loved the most when it was teaching you about civics and about government and about, and that's one of the things that I've been a big proponent, although I don't have children, a big proponent in the school system that we've really gotten away from the true civics. Like, I understand history. I understand, you know, talking about history and how it repeats itself, but we forget the civics part about how we can all contribute to this country and how we can all be patriots in better ways.
Yeah. So talk to us about the Dr. Sam series. Is it, how many podcasts is there, and where did you get your characters for the film?
It's not a podcast. It is, in fact, it'll be a YouTube TV show.
Yeah.
We're probably coming with our first episode in about 10 days to 2 weeks.
Woo-hoo.
And we'll promote it on our Facebook page, as well as our website, which our website's not complete yet. You know, we're a bunch of old guys that are not real tech savvy, and we're having to get these young folks to give us a hand with some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But we've found some absolutely amazing things in these small towns that just warms your heart.
Yeah, the people, you know, we went to visit somebody in a town called Linden, Tennessee, and I had such appreciation for small towns. I remember the only store was a Piggly Wiggly, and we did a lot of walking. We did a lot of fishing. We went for rides, and it's connecting to nature as well.
Absolutely. One of the little towns that we're on our list to visit, these ladies sit like one day a week and sew quilts until they have enough quilts to give each participant of the honor flights. These are the World War II vets that get to go to the World War II Memorial. And each one of them gets a patriotic quilt on their return. These are the kind of things that really make America great. And the efforts people have made in their little towns to revitalize the towns. You know, progress has hurt the little towns substantially. You know, they build an interstate.
We're losing him.
Yeah.
He'll have to call. He'll have to call.
Oh, I think he just lost his call. But
yeah, that's a
but
good
one. But we love, you know, Sita, we always talk about that here on the show, that politics is life and how important it is to make sure. I'm going to try and get that.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, that's what happens with the cell phones. If the cell towers are bad, you know. Is he on? Are you on, Sam? Hello, Sam? Where's Danny when you need? Danny, we think he's calling back. But we're not sure how to get him. But that's this is why Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is unscripted.
That's right.
And boy, you see what you see is what you get, right? And you know, one of the things about this, one of the things about the small towns, you know, Ellen, one of the things about the small town, I lived in Marion, Indiana. And I have to tell you, the people there were crazy about wildlife and the outdoors and seeking a lot of adventure. They had a lot of adventures on the outside. You know, the men went fishing and hunting and, you know, things like that. Is Sam back with us? I don't know what's going on. Sam, if you're in a small town, they need a cell tower. So we were talking, I mean, a lot of people call the small town Red Rock Country as well. And it's almost like a mindfulness and a spiritual retreat when you go to these small towns. And you were talking about one in particular before we got disconnected.
That was the ladies that sew the quilts for the veterans. But every little small town we go to, there's a mindset. If you're in trouble, you're going to have either your neighbor, or if that's not enough, you're going to have more people. They're going to help you support you and get you through that problem. We saw the examples of that in North Carolina, people helping one another in that flood situation there. You don't always get that in the larger towns because folks are a little more reserved and a little less apt to participate and help.
Or know
so
each other.
It's a joy to me. And every little new town we go to, I learn something new and it's exciting or it's funny. We were in Williams, Arizona, and we found out that during the Prohibition, there was a speakeasy there. And the speakeasy was in the basement under the judge magistrate's office.
Wow. Well, the one in New York City was underneath the police station.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Sam, Mr. Neely, do you feel like does patriotism require the belief that one's country is the greatest country on earth?
Well, it's sort of like your kids. You know, you think your own kids are the best in the world. I personally think my nation's the best in the world. And I've had the opportunity to travel. I've been to 39 countries.
Yes.
I lived in Belgium for 4 years. And there's no place that I'd live besides America. I think it's an amazing country. We've got great opportunities. We've got incredible potential. We can do great things in this nation. We can once again be the light to help other countries. And that's where we were always at our best.
Yeah, well, we set the pace, right? Because and also I think it's very important that we all understand that the soldiers who sacrificed their life, they did do it for us. And on a day like today on Veterans Day, we need to always pay attention to those who serve and understand that we do, to some respect, we owe them. And I think a lot of people don't understand that at times, that yes, we do owe these people that came before us and the ones that sacrificed their lives for us.
Absolutely. I came out of the Vietnam era, and I was 6 years in the military, and I was honored to serve, and I lost a stepson in the military. And so I got a little skin in the game. And that's one reason I wanted to do this wagon and do some things for the veterans with it. I'm just having a good time being a proud American.
Yeah, it sounds like you found your little niche, you know. As I was preparing for the show, I was reading like in the – That someone suggested when you're driving on the highway and you see a small town, just for the heck of it, if you have time, just pull off the road and drive through that small town and get that feeling off the people that live there. And they do welcome you with open arms.
Stop at the ice cream shop.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no question
right.
about that. You can't just go into the Safeway store and buy something. You got to visit a minute.
Yep.
Right.
You know, it's that hometown atmosphere. I just love. I live in a small town. I lived in a small town for over 20 years, and I live in a town of 1,100 now. I just like the small town atmosphere. it's less stress, less pace, and I really enjoy it. Now our trips with the wagon, we've got some great things coming up. We were able to be at Bishop Mule Days this last year, and we not only videoed the largest non-mechanized parade in the world, which is Bishop Mule Days Parade, but we also did an episode at Mule Days. We did an episode in Jerome, Arizona.
I love Jerome. I also Jerome love Bucksnort, Tennessee, if you can ever make it there.
Where?
Bucksnort, Tennessee.
Sounds good to me.
It is an awesome place. It's just like Jerome. Very artsy. And
so you know something, Sam? One of the things that, as I researched for the show, what I found, like, the inhabitants of small towns, they appreciate the four seasons. They appreciate in during the warmer months where skiing and snowboarding is replaced by walking and hiking and mountain biking and fishing. And it's a family atmosphere. You're promoting two things there. You're promoting the love of country, patriotism, as well as family, which we don't see in the big cities anymore. People are so busy trying to catch up with the Joneses and working that they don't appreciate nature the way they do in the small towns.
Well, I agree with that. And our show is, we're not designed to teach anybody anything or to preach or anything of that nature. Our job and our responsibility is to just tell people that they can see something different, that they can take a look. Yeah, take a look and make their own mind up if they like that.
Kind of like hitting the reset button, right? Now, I lived in Marion, Indiana for a couple of years, and one of the most wonderful thing about Marion, Indiana was at the football games, the Mimo and the Papa and everybody showed up, the cousins. Yeah. Then they had a park where people went for hay rides around Halloween and Christmas, you know, and everybody showed up. The difference is that the people shows up for these things versus the bigger cities, correct?
Exactly. You know, we were out in the country when my boys were little, and we used to take the wagon and the kids around close, and we'd take them into town in the wagon with the mules, and they would trick-or-treat and from the wagon. And that was a big treat for them. And it was a big treat for the other folks, too, because we kind of dressed up the mules and put Halloween costumes on them. And it was a lot of fun. It's just great.
Yeah.
It's a great way to live, and it's a great way to raise children.
It is. And so if somebody wanted to see some of your, to subscribe to your YouTube channel and learn a little bit more about Dr. Sam.
Where to get the color books.
Yeah, where do we find them?
Okay, right now we have our webpage is drsamsamerica.us.
Okay.
The page is not complete and it's not ready yet. The best place to get information about the show is our Facebook page, which is Dr. Sam's America. And we update that as soon as we have information. And we've got some guys, some younger folks working on our social media for us. And we'll be on X or whatever it is they call it, and some of the other social media pages. And then we'll be doing some promos on the YouTube page as well.
And the YouTube page is also going to be Dr. Sam's America?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you know what? I like when they say yes, ma'am. It's such good manners, too, right? So somebody told me there's a town called Breckenridge in Colorado, and they said that's a really cool town as well. There's a lot of history there with mining, gold mining, and things like that. Have you visited that town?
Anywhere you go in Colorado, anywhere you go in the Rockies, that's the way. Now, Breckenridge is turned into a pretty high-end ski resort.
Yeah.
So you don't want to go anywhere. It's a big tourist area.
Jerome, Arizona is the spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our goal in a lot of places we go is to go to smaller places that nobody's ever heard of. There's a town, for instance, in Julesburg, Colorado. It was a Pony Express stop. It was the junction for the California Trail and the Oregon Trail. The town was burned three times by the Native Americans and then put in three different locations. And Jules Benny, the town's namesake, built a trading post and saloon. And he also operated the Pony Express office when it opened. Well, he was caught stealing from the Pony Express, and they shot him and cut off his ears and nailed one over the door of the Pony Express office as a reminder not to rob the Pony Express.
Yeah.
And this is a little town of 1,200 that is actually one of those little towns that's dying because it's been cut off by the interstate.
Yeah, I think the movie Dances with Wolves, that was also filmed, and the final scene was filmed in a small town as well.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it was Colorado, Arizona, but I remember reading about that once.
It would be Colorado. It was Sedgwick County area is where the area was supposed to be where that was filmed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's deep eastern Colorado.
So Sam, you know, when people come to the United States from like the Caribbean or, you know, South Africa, South America and stuff, they've got this idea about Americans, right? But I lived in Marion, Indiana. And I have to say, being an Indian lady in Marion, Indiana, we were treated so wonderfully with a lot of warmth, a lot of love. They wanted to know about, you know, where we were from. People were very nice to us. And I think that in today's culture, in today's world, where we see so much hate and fear and division and political nonsense and people not liking each other, and I think it's, for a man like you going to the small towns, talk to us a little bit about how these small towns envelope people and come and take them in.
Well, I find that when I go to these small towns, basically, it's just people, and they don't care what color they come in. They take them in as a human being. You just smiles and polite folks and handshakes and everywhere you go in these small towns. Now, there's some folks that if you move there, sometimes it's a little hard to become part of the community because they're a little set in their ways. But eventually it breaks loose and everything's wonderful.
And just so you know, Cedar,
my life in a small town. Actually, the small town was Carthage, Texas.
Well, guess what? When I moved to Marion, Indiana, I made curry chicken for the town, and they gave me corn on the cob. And yeah, it was wonderful.
Well, and you went all the way to Holland to go see tulips, an encrusted boot. Colorado is the wildflower capital of the world, so you got to make it there. If you went to Holland, you got to go to there. You got to go to that small town.
I've been to both. And I don't know, Keukenhof in the Netherlands is pretty amazing.
It is. You've got 30 seconds, Sam, before we go off air. Talk to my listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and let them know why you think Dr. Sam is saying to folks, go visit the small towns, take a break, de-stress yourselves. Give us that 30-second spiel about going to the small town.
Well, I tell you what, doesn't take a lot of money. If you're not paying a lot of money for hotels, just take a run. Just step down off the interstate. You're going to find some amazing things to look at in these small towns, things that you can't even imagine are there, crafts that people have worked on, schools, churches. Just walk down the street, and you can absolutely de-stress and just be happy to be there breathing the air and window shopping. You can do anything you want to do. It's just a very, very pleasant experience. And I can't wait to get to the next town that we go to because it's always an amazing education for me.
Well, maybe you could check out Gas City. It's right next door to Marion, Indiana. And I think James Dean has some kind of a connection to Marion, Indiana and Gas City. You could check it out.
On the back side of our show, we have it set up where if you think we should, what it says is, if you think we should visit your small town, send us an email, 500 words or less, and tell us why.
I love
and
it. I'm going to send you a bunch.
That's the places that we go.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Sam, thank you so much for sharing all of this great information. It just warms my heart to have these types of conversations. So, folks, check out Dr. Sam's America on Facebook. Check them out on YouTube. And then soon you'll be able to see their website, drsamsamerica.us. We'll make sure we share all of this on our social media pages as well as our website, which is cedamediainc.com. Thanks again, y'all, for tuning in here to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on a beautiful Monday. We'll see you next week.